So,
Dr. Crowder, who we're going to see first. Since 1990, Dr. Todd Crowder has been an associate professor at the United States Military Academy. He has created the Center for Physical Development Excellence within the Department of Physical Education in 1999. Dr. Crowder's leadership responsibilities extend to organizing the United States Military Academy Cadet Fitness Challenge, Military Optimal Performance Challenge, and the Soldier Physical Performance Index. His research has allowed him to work with collegiate, national, and professional athletes.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Being from the Military Academy, the first thing that I want to do is certainly acknowledge one of the track coaches that I was fortunate to work with, Greg Lott, had introduced me to my colleague here, Steve, and Erfley. And I've really been fascinated by some of the research he's been doing, and so I'd like to present some of our work that we're going to build on. Of course, the disclosure here for you. Okay, the first thing I want to say is, being from the Military Academy, is it has to be audience participation. So we're going to do a little drill, and the thought on this is, if you want to break out in push-ups right now and do this, I certainly won't, it's not going to be unusual for me. But what I'd like you to do just for a moment is, if you close your eyes and think about you're doing one of your exercises, and let's get you towards the end of that exercise, and I'd like you to be in your mind counting to yourself. And I'm going to help you. Let's say you're at 38 and then you make 39. What are you going to do next? You're going to get to 40, then what? All right, 41, 42, what's going on? All right, so you kind of seen that. What we're going to try to talk about is, were you an even or were you an odd? If you were at 39, did you tell yourself, I'm going to get to 40? And then when you got to 40, did you kind of almost bypass 41 and think, I'm going to get to 42? So we all, in our mind, count. And this is what I'm fascinated by, and we're going to share with you some things. So a little bit of the background was, back in 1960, Schelling had said something about we need to have a focal point, if you will. And certainly the importance of this focal point is, it needs to lack ambiguity. And I'm going to show you something towards the end of my slides that certainly lacks ambiguity at the United States Military Academy. And Steve has, and I think you've pioneered this, is this correct? This is really exciting. He took some data from 9,000 middle schoolers in Pennsylvania, and he looked at curl-ups and push-ups, and what he saw with the data, so this is Steve just independently examining, is that we see there are periodic spikes at the 5 and 10 unit intervals. And we also see that these middle schoolers, as you see, that when they're focal counting in one event, they're more likely to do it in the other event. And what's also cool is that they may do it if they did it in the fall, they're probably going to use it in the spring. So we see some carryover. So focal counters also outperform non-focal counters. So if you were a focal person in this room, then you're going to outperform those that perhaps aren't focal. So and then also in here, and again, I'm certainly the rookie here. Male students at least appear to process and more likely to be a focal counter than female, and that's something that we need to look at. So that kind of gives you a little bit of background on what Steve has been able to do. And so then, like I said, I told him, hey, when we got in contact, I said, I got a lot of data up here, and I was really intrigued by this. So you see that we're going to look at two things in this presentation. The first one deals with some of the things that we saw in the abstract, which we looked at pull-ups, push-ups, and sit-ups, which are near to our heart at the U.S. Military Academy. And then the other extension in here in this room was, we'll look at something called cadence pull-up. I believe that helps eliminate some of the challenge with the regular pull-up, and then also a 175 bench press. I do apologize. I always am trying to collect data on women. We just don't get enough. So most of this, it all represents with the male cadets up at West Point. So what we did find, that there were no pronounced regular spikes on the 5-10, if you will, compared to the Pennsylvania middle school kids. And so Steve and I were talking, and we decided to look at some things and extend this on how do they count and some counting bases. And so you see that with some of our data here, there's some, seems to be some exciting things with processing on 2-4-6-8, so the even counting, and then also on the cadence pull-ups, at least by counting by fives. And so what we also want to show you is that even amongst this data set, there's some interesting things going on. If you count on pull-ups by fours, you're probably going to be better, as we said, with non-focal, so that kind of supports the Pennsylvania data in that. And we're going to see some things that it really does on the bottom line make a difference in a performance matter. So I kind of want to bring this in just in my field, in exercise phys and that. And if I can, there's an ongoing discussion, obviously, with what causes fatigue. And I kind of straddle I was fortunate to have both physiology and psychology. So your pure physiologist will be down here saying that probably fatigue is caused by some physiological buildup. And so we may have some disturbances going on with byproducts and that when we exercise, and that's going to cause fatigue. I listen to that and certainly think that that's a player, but the one thing that they can account for is something that we see in being as a track coach is something we call inspurt. If you know, when you watch races, everybody has an inspurt. And in fact, you take some of the longer distance runs, the fastest 400 meters is usually the last 400. So obviously that would be against the thought that you're building up end products, so to speak, towards the end, because you shouldn't be able to have that inspurt. So over here, you see, too, that we know that from a sports psych standpoint, there's many things that are important setting us up pre-exercise before we even go do an event. And certainly experience, and if I'm going against competition or that certainly plays a part in this fatigue. So I say that Steve has probably come onto the model with introducing a factor and that being counting. And I think that that's something that certainly is relevant in this discussion when we look at fatigue and motor unit recruitment. So I want us just to go back for a moment in 2008 to kind of reinforce a point on sports psychology, if I can. So if any swimmers are in the room, you know that this is Jason Lezak. And certainly at times he was obviously overlooked by Michael Phelps. But he had a story that was very important in Phelps attaining his run to the gold medals. So that involved the 4x100-meter swim. And you know that Lezak was, if I'm not mistaken, was the anchor on that, or at least, and I apologize, I think he was. I know the bottom line is he went against Bernard, and they had gone head-to-head. So let's look at that. So in 2007, Lezak was able to swim 100 meters at 48.51. That ranked eighth in the world. Bernard was 48.12. There's the difference, okay? In 2008 then, prior probably to the Olympics, he'd shaved it down 47.58. Bernard 47.21, so that represented second and fifth in the world. So then what happens and how good, what was Lezak able to do from a sports psychology standpoint? We always say, look, you can swim perhaps out of your mind if you're swimming for somebody also other than yourself. Well, now you know that he has three other teammates on that relay team. So when we go to the 2008 4x100 that is prominent with trying to assist Phelps get his goals, you see that in the race there of the life that everybody sometimes tends to forget, Lezak swam 46.06 and Bernard swam his leg in 46.73. So he did an astounding delta against Bernard in the delta there was 0.90. Certainly a performance that is just out of, that's certainly there. Now let's see what happened 4 days later. In an individual event now when Lezak is swimming for himself, you see that he got not shabby, he got the bronze, and certainly, but 47.67 is what he was able to swim 4 days later, and Bernard took the gold on that. Swimming, obviously, as you can see, slower than what they both did 4 days prior. In 2009, you see that Lezak is able to swim 47.78, and that it just shows you, I think, something that we know, and that would be sports psychology and the power of the mind. So let's get into some of the data here. This represents some of the Pennsylvania middle school data, and we see that that this is push-ups, curl-ups in the fall. And if you look, obviously you can see some spikes there. And you see that, I guess we don't have the pointer up here, is that? Okay, so you can obviously see spikes at 5, 10, 15, 20, and both curl-ups, push-ups and curl-ups. And then in the spring, we see again, as we mentioned, that this seems to be people that are focal tend to stay focal in events. and so that we have in a fall and a spring relationship. So it's some carryover. So now we go to looking at some data at the United States Military Academy. And like I said, this is kind of some of our staple, push-ups, sit-ups, and a pull-up. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Am I good? Should be on. Yep, perfect. Thank you. Okay. So we're looking at pull-ups, sit-ups, and push-ups. And as we said, there are no apparent spikes in 5 and 10. So you can see that we don't have anything really compared to the middle schoolers in Pennsylvania. And so since there wasn't a 5 and 10 kind of, we extended this and said, well, maybe are people looking at some things differently. So you see in the pull-ups at least, it looks like maybe there's some counting ability on 6, 9, 12. And so we wanted to kind of extend that thought and look at some things. So this is really what to show you when we're still dealing with 520 cadets and you look at chi-squared analysis. So the way we look at this, gang, is that we see here's what would be expected if you were going to count pull-ups by 2, 3, 4, or 5 type of interval, okay? And so that would be your base counting. And so you see that expected was 260 and actually focal was 260. So again, we don't see anything related to pull-ups, push-ups, nothing going on there. And then sit-ups, the one thing that we do see is perhaps, again, in how you'd look at that, we expected to see 104, and then there were 118. So p-value over here, you'd say, well, maybe there's something going on with sit-ups in this group. If you want to try to look at some other things, and you just see that pull-ups, well, maybe there's something going on that the people, this is how we compare them, people that counted by fours, okay, so 4, 8, 12, compared to non-counters of four, you see that they can probably do about a one pull-up better than the non-focal people. So that's at least some of our data there. And that was some of the things that we saw, and we said, well, let's look at a couple other tests. And so this was the 175-pound bench press that I mentioned and cadence pull-ups. And certainly towards the end of the lecture, I want to talk about this point right here. We have a relatively fit group that I'm fortunate to interact with, and you can see that this is basically from our collective group. I can close my eyes, and generally these are our means of as far as what our men and women are able to do while they're at the academy there. And so we're trying to look at bench press, 175, and cadence pull-ups, okay? And you see that perhaps on this data set, and this is over 300, and it's pretty clean data, and we see that maybe there's something going on a 5, 10, 15 with cadence pull-ups. So let's look at this right in here. This is bench press, okay? And the way I want to look at this is going across the board then. This would be the expected. So your base counting, 2, 3, 4, over. And then this would be our expected, 150. And you can see that it's interesting for 175 bench press. We look like we've got significance on 2, 4, 6, and 8. So if you're processing that way, it obviously looks like this is unique. This would be what you're expected. And, you know, as Steve says, this is oversubscribed. So clearly there's something going on here. And you can see that we're undersubscribed on some other ones. So these are interesting points that we want to try to look at. If you go down and certainly look at, drill down just a little bit and say, well, let's look at from a performance standpoint. And we say, all right, so let's look at essentially if you're focal or non-focal, okay? And you can see some big differences here that if I'm focal at 4, and non-focal 13, so there's some differences right across the board. This is cadence pull-ups again, and it extends out if you count by twos or fours with cadence pull-ups. And we're going to look in a moment a little bit with the interaction. So some interesting things going on, at least how people are processing when they're having a bench press. So one of the interactions is, well, let's see if it's unique or going this way. So we looked at cadence pull-ups. And we certainly were saying, okay, right in here, we see that maybe there's something going on with base counting of 5, all right? So now what we're going to try to do is look at some interaction. And the way that we kind of look at this, and I certainly appreciate putting on this information that Steve has put on this table. And so how we're working through this is basically saying, okay, if I'm going to be focal in both events, bench press and cadence pull-ups, this would be my cell right in here, okay? And if I'm not going to do anything, so if I'm, quote, non-focal, okay, then this would be where I am here. I'm not doing anything with the bench press. I'm not doing anything with the cadence. And so you see that the expected frequency should be 120 right here, 180, 200, 210. And we see that this is undersubscribed. So the way we're interpreting this is, hey, there's definitely something going on there. It's undersubscribed. That would be what you'd expect. And then you try to look at some things and you see, well, in theory, this would be what we'd expect if you on a distribution. And you see that we've got 55 here, 31. We should have had only 15 and certainly 10, and we have 24. So there's some exciting things going on how we all process. Perfect. So as a performer, then I look at this and say, well, I'm excited by looking at this because it looks like to me, as I interpret this data, is, okay, bench press maybe has a little bit more potent effect. And so is there something going on with the way that I counted on bench press that carries over for my performance here? And so you see that that I'm doing bench press, but I'm not doing cadence. And you see that I've got 15.3. I've got bench press here, 16, 18. And so there's some exciting things that we see when they're in the midst of trying to do competition and trying to go towards max on an event. Okay. Last thing is then on kind of a different analysis, just showing you that when we use regression analysis and as a track coach or trying to go after performance, you see that if you count it on the bench press by kind of factors of 6 or 8, you see that on 6, so 6, 12, 18, and I'm going to show you the next slide maybe why that is, that those people that process on 6, 12, 18 actually do almost three reps more on the bench press compared to those that don't. So application. As a teacher coach gang, how I see this, you know, certainly we always say try to do the very best you can, and you try to encourage that. And then we know that perhaps there's some things going on as a focal performer from the outside, how you process inside. Cadets need anchor points. A lot of times you'll hear that, and maybe you hear it with your students. They'll say, what do I have to? You'll hear, what minimally do I have to do, and what's the maximum I have to do? You can see that on the 175 bench press, and I'm probably going to change this, you can see that our max, if you do 24 reps, you're going to get 25 points. Well, look at this. And I was fortunate just 2 days ago to talk to one of my runners who just made Special Forces selection and got into it after about 3 weeks. And the bottom line is, this is kind of who we're interested in if you really want to get in that realm. This is the max. Why did you stop? That would be what I'd ask. Why did we stop here? Aren't we supposed to do the very best we can do? So clearly we have people that just because of an external scale, they're stopping there. This would certainly lead us, it lacks ambiguity. We know that that's their top score, and I'd like to see more spillover here. Okay, this, what do we have, 38 or something? That's somebody that decided he wasn't going to stop and continue to go to be the very best he could be. I think it certainly has application. What do we do when no scales are present? So on reflections, I'm really excited by this work. For me, as I said leading in, it really dovetails with sports psychology, physiology, and ultimately we're trying to look at optimal performance. And I certainly have a sincere thanks to Dr. Stephen Earthly, as far as I know he's a passionate professor, and I've really enjoyed our interaction. So I look forward if you have some questions at the end of the session. So thank you for your time.